Right, tonight's word is, how are you building your house? How are you building your house? We're going to read from Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" So he's talking to his disciples. They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And then it appears that Jesus turned to Peter. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by men, but by my Father in heaven." So he asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter responded, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." My question to you tonight is this, a very important question, is that if Jesus were to appear to you tonight directly, if Jesus were to appear to you tomorrow, or in the next week, or in the next month, and he were to ask you directly, "Who do you say that I am?" how would you respond? If Jesus were to appear to you directly in the coming days, and he were to ask you, "Who do you say that I am?" how would you respond? Would you be able to respond and say, "Jesus, you are my Lord and my Master"? You know, I do a lot of one-on-one street evangelism here on the streets of downtown Tulsa. And the question that I often ask is this. If you were to die tonight, sir, ma'am, do you know that you would go to heaven? And a lot of people give the answer, "Yes, I'd go to heaven because I placed my faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has become my Savior." And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus as Savior is awesome. That's great. Jesus as Savior means what? Jesus as Savior means that he came to save your life from the grip of sin. Maybe there's a sin that you're struggling with tonight that only you and God know about. Jesus came to set you free from the stronghold that sin would want to have over your life. And secondly, Jesus came to save you and me from eternal hell. That's good news here tonight, right? So yes, when you placed your faith in Jesus, when you professed faith in Jesus, he became your Savior. If you had died at that point, you would have gone straight to heaven. But, here's a big one. Jesus must also be Lord of your life. Remember, if Jesus were to appear to you in the coming days, and he were to ask you, "Who do you say that I am?" would you be able to say, "Jesus, you are my Lord"? You know, making Jesus Lord is essential to saving faith. Maybe you might have thought, maybe you were taught by somebody that your profession in Christ a year ago, a month ago, 5 years ago was enough to save you. But guess what? It is good that you put your faith in Christ. But part and parcel of saving faith is making Jesus the Lord over every part of your being. Is that making sense here tonight?
Yes.
All right, so we're going to see this from the parable that Jesus gives in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. The parable of the builders. Jesus says in Luke 6, 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice." So he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" In the original language, this is kurios. Why do you call me kurios, kurios? Lord, Lord, supreme in authority over your life, controller, master of your life, but you do not do what I say. I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. In other words, he's saying, the person who hears my words and puts my words into practice in his or her life has made me Lord of his life. Lord of her life. Is that making sense?
Yes.
Verse 48. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. So Jesus here is using imagery in this parable. What does the house represent in this parable? In the parable of the wise and the foolish builder. What does the house represent? The house represents your life. Now the one builder, the first builder Jesus talks about, says that he built his house upon a rock. He dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. What does the rock represent? The wise builder built his house upon the rock. The rock represents the lordship of Jesus Christ. And then the flood comes, the storm comes. What does the flood, what does the storm represent? What does the flood, what does the storm represent in this parable? It can represent death. So my question to you tonight is this: when death comes storming into your life, will it be said of you that your house, your life, was built on the lordship of Jesus Christ? When death comes storming into your life, will it be said of you that your life was founded upon the rock of the lordship of Jesus Christ? None of us knows when we will face death. But when you face death and death comes storming, comes like a flood into your life, will it be said of you that your life was founded on that solid rock of the lordship of Jesus Christ? And Jesus says in the parable that that house that was built upon the rock could not be shaken because it was well built. If so, if your life is built upon the rock of the lordship of Jesus Christ, your life will not be shaken. It will be saved for eternity. You will go to heaven when you leave this earth. But your life has got to be founded upon the rock of the lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus, yes, is your Savior. If you've professed faith in Jesus, He became your Savior, but He also wants to be Lord, Master, Ruler over every part of your existence. Is that making sense here tonight, friends? But the opposite is also true. He talks about the foolish builder. He says, but the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. In Matthew's rendering of this parable, in Matthew 7:26, he calls us a foolish builder who built his house on sand. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. If your house, your life is built on sand, guess what? When death comes storming into your life, that house, that life, your life will be shaken and it could be lost for eternity. I don't want to be there. How about you? If you want to save your life for eternity, if you want your life to be solid and shake-proof, you've got to make Jesus Lord over every part of your being. You know, the second builder, the foolish builder who built his house on sand, made a decision. He decided to build his house without a foundation. The second builder Jesus talks about in the parable decided to build his house, his life, without a foundation. He decided to build his house on sinking sand. And friends, if you have decided that Jesus cannot be your master, then by default, you become the master of your own destiny. Let me say it again. If you have decided in your heart that Jesus cannot be your master, then by default, you become the master of your own destiny. Some think, maybe you're thinking tonight, you know, I accepted Jesus Christ a month ago, or a year ago, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago. But this is my life. Can't I do with my life what I want to do with my life? Can't I just have some fun with my life here on this earth? You know, can't I just hang out with those friends who drink only two or three times a week? Can't I just indulge my eyes in looking at anything that to me is like eye candy? You know, those people that I hang out with only get high about twice a month. You know, that person who offended me, it feels so good to try to get even with him. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that if this is your mindset, then you are building your house, your life on sand. You see, a life built on sand, on fleshly and selfish desires, will be lost for eternity. That second builder Jesus talks about in the parable of Luke chapter 6 built his house on sand. What are you building your house, your life upon tonight? Are you building your life on fleshly and selfish desires? This is my life. I can do with my life what I want to do with my life. If that's what you're building your life on, guess what? When death comes storming in like a flood, your house, your life will be shaken and it will be lost eternity. This is not my opinion, friends. This is directly from the Word of God. A great minister once said, becoming a Christian is the work of a moment. But being a Christian is the work of a lifetime. Becoming a Christian is the work of a moment. In other words, when you profess your faith in Jesus and said, Jesus, I put my faith and my trust in you, be my Savior, guess what? You became a Christian at that point. Were you to die at that point, you would have gone straight to heaven. But being a Christian is the work of a lifetime. You know, after you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, most of us are going to live another 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years after that decision to put faith in Christ. And it's within those 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years that we need to learn to be followers of Christ. It's in those years that we need to learn to be Christians. It is the work of a lifetime to make Jesus Lord over every part of your being. You see, the first builder Jesus talked about in the parable, the first builder was wise, right? He dug down deep and he built his house upon the rock. He did the hard work of finding that rock and building his life upon that rock foundation. You know, in modern day construction, it takes quite a bit of work to build a good, solid, concrete foundation that you're going to put a house on top of. If you start building a house without a concrete foundation and a flood comes along, guess what? It's going to knock that house down. But if you put the work into building that concrete foundation strong, good, flood-proof, guess what? When you build your house on top of it and a flood comes, the flood is not going to be able to take that house down. But it takes work to build a solid foundation. And in our lives, spiritually, friends, it's going to take some work to build our lives on the solid foundation of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Is that making sense here tonight? And in ourselves, we'll get weak at times. But you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. You know, if you're attempting to make Jesus Lord over different parts of your life and you get weak at times, just cry out to God and say, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I am too weak in my own flesh. Cry out to God, pray to God, and God will give you His grace, His divine empowerment, His ability to make His Son, Jesus Christ, Lord over every part of your existence. It takes work. Being a Christian is the work of a lifetime. Making Jesus Christ Lord over every part of your life is the work of a lifetime. Building your life on the rock of the Lordship of Jesus Christ is the work of a lifetime. And the important word there is work. It takes work to make Jesus Lord over every part of your being. Remember this, an essential part of saving faith, part and parcel of saving faith, is making Jesus Lord over every part of your being. Is that making sense here tonight? Yes. What's one of the ways that you can make Jesus Lord over every part of your life? You can cry out to God in prayer, right? And if you cry out to God in prayer, God will give you His grace and His strength to make His Son Lord, Master, Ruler, Controller over every part of your being. The other way is what? Is by getting into the Word of God. Getting into the Word of God, you know. A lot of people don't get into the Word of God often enough, but you got to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis. The books that you read, the media that you get into, the newspapers and the magazines that you read will influence the way that you think. Why not read the most famous and the greatest book in the world, the Bible, and let this influence the way that you think and behave in your life? It's called the washing of the water of the Word. Get into the Word of God. You know, just getting into God's Word two or three times a year is not going to cut it. Some people think, you know, if I get into God's Word at Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, that's good for me. No, friends. You got to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis, on a daily basis. You may not have a whole lot of time in your schedule to read a whole lot of Bible, but you can probably read two or three scriptures when you wake up. If you got more time, if you got an hour, you might be able to read two or three chapters. But you got to be in the Word of God consistently. Is that making sense here tonight? We turn to Joshua here. Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. The book of the law today in the new covenant is what? It's the whole Word of God. Meditate on it day and night. If you get into the Word of God, you read from the Old Testament, you read from the New Testament, read about Jesus in the Gospels, the teachings of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus. Guess what? Jesus will start becoming Lord over every part of your being. Now, where does Jesus want to be Lord in your life? I just said it. Where does He want to be Lord? Over every part of your life, right? Over every part of your life, Jesus wants to be Lord. Now, in your life, with the words that you speak, for instance, you could either speak like the world speaks. When they stub their big toe, they speak a four-letter word. Or if Jesus is your Lord, then the word that comes out of your mouth when you stub your toe, when somebody gets under your skin, is what? Is a word of blessing over that person. You speak blessed words with your mouth. Think to yourself, what would Jesus do? If Jesus is to be Lord over every part of your existence, think to yourself, what would Jesus do in this instance? Would He speak a bad four-letter word? No. He would speak words of blessing with your body. With your body. You could either go the way of the world. What does the world say? The world says just do whatever you want with your body. Get drunk. Get high all the time. Sleep with anyone you want to sleep with. That's the way of the world. But if you're making Jesus Lord over your body, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Jesus kept Himself perfectly holy. What would Jesus do? Jesus wouldn't be getting high. Jesus wouldn't be getting drunk, right? Jesus lived a perfectly holy life. But you got to get into the scriptures to know this. Who sits on the throne of your heart? Is it you or is it Jesus? Over your spirit, who's Lord? Is it you or is it Jesus? Right now, today, you may be in the driver's seat of your life. But guess what? Jesus wants to be in the driver's seat of your life. So slide on over to the passenger side and put Jesus behind the steering wheel of your life. That making sense here tonight? In your finances, do you go the way of the world, spending your money on what is wicked? Or do you spend your finances on godly things, spreading the gospel, giving to tithes and offerings? Ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Amen? Yes. Who is in the driver's seat of your life? How many here work for an employer, a boss? Maybe one day a week, maybe 2 days a week, maybe 3 days a week. And when you're working for that boss who's paying you and he gives you an order, you do what he asks you to do, right? Guess who wants to be the big boss over your life? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Jesus Christ wants to be the big boss over your life 24/7, over every part of your being. And friends, don't condemn yourselves. Jesus is not going to become Lord over every part of your life overnight. It's going to take the process of a lifetime. a process of crying out to God, a process of dying to selfish and fleshly desires, a process of getting into the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God. It happens over a process of a lifetime that Jesus becomes Lord over every part of your existence. It takes the process of a lifetime to build that rock-solid foundation in your life. Amen?
Amen?
Is that making sense here tonight? So if you used to think or somebody taught you that, you know, that profession of faith you made in Jesus that one time is enough to get you into heaven, you can live however you want to live, that is not according to the Word. That profession that you made in Jesus, however long ago that was, is fine. That is good. But remember, an essential part of saving faith is making Jesus Lord, Master, supreme in authority, ruler over every part of your existence. The words you speak, what you do with your body, your spirit, your finances, your relationships, every part of you. And I encourage you, friends, get into the Word of God on a consistent basis.